Sabe que
thank you, buddy. I watched Zach say something and I perceived it troubled some people. I have a number of people around the country who are trying to study the Word of God, and I don't tell you what to believe. The Lord has given me some grace in showing people how to study. Okay. The first thing I tell a student is you'll open up to the book of Romans. Why? Because Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he was charged with teaching the Gentiles the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about some hyper-diaper dispensationalism or something like that. I just want to find the man who was told to teach me. Okay? Let him take me by the hand and take me through the rest of Scripture. So you start in the book of Romans, the first word is the book, or the first word is the word Paul. Okay? Study Paul. Who is he? Just take your time. Take a concordance and run through the Word of God and learn who Paul is. Don't run to a commentary to find out who Paul is. Go through the Word of God. Paul, a servant. Okay? What's a servant? What did a Pharisee in the year 45 AD mean by the word servant? Go back and read the rules of servitude. Go back in the Old Testament. Study servants in the Bible. Study the parables about servants. Understand what they are. What did he mean when he said Paul a servant? Of Jesus Christ. Why does it say Jesus Christ? Why does it say Christ Jesus? Why didn't it say Christ? Why didn't it say Jesus? Why didn't it say the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay? How many times in your Bible does it say Jesus and then Christ? Is there any similarity in those? Go look at it. Why did he say it that way? Okay? Called. Study the word called. Go through. Find out what's that mean. Okay? Weave that all the way through your Bible. You say, how much? Until the Spirit of God doesn't bug you anymore. Until you're done with every rabbit trail that he's shown you. Stay on it.
Come on.
Say, what if it takes me 2 years? It'd be the best 2 years of your life.
Right.
Okay? Yes. Spend 2 years on it. To be an apostle. Go study what an apostle is. Go look at all the apostles. Go look at it. Study it. Dig into it. Had a fellow from Olean. Got a hold of him. Mike Falk has begun to do this study and such, and he just thanked me recently. He said, thank you. You give me back my first love. And he's learning now that he'll go and talk to other people about the Word of God, and he's realized they don't really believe the Word of God. He'll show them verses, and they believe their theology.
Right, yeah.
Most men, their theology is the idol of the Old Testament. They've created it. And they will carve their Bible to fit their theology. They will not allow their theology to be changed by the Word of God. Okay? So, Zach began that, and I think folks can see he's begun to profit from it. Recently, my boys came back from North Carolina and said, well, Zach's on his third time through Romans. His third time. Zach, what are you on your third time through? Well, I still don't get it. You're never going to get it. Trillion years from now, you're not going to totally get it. Okay? Get out of the 1 Corinthians. So he's in 1 Corinthians now. All right? But the thing is, I know, I'm not saying this lightly. If you can find 5 men in the United States of America or Western Europe or the Western world anywhere who can sit with Zach Vernon right now, go into the book of Romans, and take it for every single statement in it and run it anywhere in the Word of God for what it says, the references behind it. If you can find 5 men to do it like Zach can, I'll eat my hat. Now tonight, did it profit him to do that? Did anybody see a profit to that preaching?
Yes.
I saw a great profit to looking at it in that sense. And as I spoke on Sunday, those older men of God here, you know that things are going to happen in his life that will just tear him to pieces. It's just going to happen. Jesus Christ said this. He said, the man of sin cometh, but he hath nothing in me. What's that mean? It means every once in a while the devil looks at me and he looks at John Asquith and studies him a while and says, you know, right there, He hasn't yielded that to the Lord. That's still the old man. We can work on that, destroy it. And you know what? It's been pretty successful in my 35 years of salvation. There's times I just want to stop and shake the devil's hand. By golly, that was a good one. You know, you drug me through the mud and everything else, and I thank God for grace, and I thank God for God. I thank God for the inward things of God and the repentance that he gives and the cleansing that he gives. But Jesus said, the man of sin comes, he has nothing in me. He's looking for handholds in Jesus, and there's nothing. Right. Nothing. Nothing that he's going to get a hold of him on. But that's the one that was made sin for us that knew no sin. Now, Psalm chapter 18, before I even go into it, I want to just give you a rule in studying your Bible that Peter taught us. Peter had to come out in the book of Acts, and he had to preach to people who are learned in the Word of God. Over 3,000 people there who've studied Scripture all their life, the kind of people who would travel at holy day to the temple. And who is he? He's a fisherman. You say, well, they're going to trust him because he's Jesus' disciple. No, they don't. They just crucified Jesus. That's a strike against him, okay? So they're going to trust him because they're speaking in tongues. They've already decided this is drunkenness, okay? All he can do is go within the Scripture and reason from the Scripture, and those who can reason from within Scripture can hear him. Those who cannot reason from within Scripture cannot hear him. Having ears, they hear not. Jeremiah said this. He said, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hear. Poor America is today.
Right.
Their ear, they cannot hear the law of God. It's uncircumcised. They cannot hear. Dealing with America today is like going into a pagan country that's never heard the word of God.
That's right.
You have to start almost from scratch.
Yeah.
But here's Peter's rule. Peter said this. He said, I'm about to quote from Psalm 16. And he said, I want you to know that who I'm talking about is not David. Why? He can't do it on his authority as an apostle. So instead, he reasons with them and says this. He said, David's tomb is with us to this day. He's still buried in here. Okay? He's still here. Therefore, being a prophet, he speaks of Christ. It's his flesh that saw no corruption.
Right.
His. That's why the book of Psalms says, the wicked, even mine enemies, came upon me to eat up my flesh, for they stumbled and fell. The pissants, the maggots, and the bacteria, they all come, they're going to eat up that flesh. But it sees no corruption. Had Jesus Christ not resurrected, that body would be laying there still to this day. But it was impossible that he should be holden of death. It can't be held there, but it sees no corruption whatsoever.
Right. Yes, amen.
But his soul was made an offering for sin. And that ought to make any single person shudder that understands what happens to an offering for sin. Mm-hmm. That ought to make them shudder. Now watch this in Psalm 18, because you're going to see something that cannot be David. It cannot. And by Peter's rule, then, it must be Christ. I will love thee. We're starting in verse 1. I'm going to skip the superscription here, which is Scripture, but I'm going to skip it. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Now that could be David. Many times, ungodly men are all around, the sorrows of death. But look at the next verse. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. That did not happen to David. There's never a time where he was snared with death in writing. Never a time when he's surrounded by hell itself. And he goes on and he says this, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. This is Christ on the cross. Did the earth shake and tremble when Christ was on the cross?
Yes.
Yes, it did.
Yes, it
okay.
did.
And the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Did the land turn dark when Jesus Christ was on the cross?
Yes.
Did the ground shake? Yes, because God the Father is wroth. Why? Because the lion of the tribe of Judah is in trouble.
Right.
He's become a worm and he's no man. He's become sin for us that knew no sin. And something stirred. It says this, verse 10, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. He did fly upon the wings of the wind. You're learning things about here about the resurrection of Jesus Christ you wouldn't have known any other way. God the Father rode a cherub. Okay? And then it says this, he made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies, and the brightness that was before him as thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. God the Father's moving to the earth. He's darkened everything out. No one's allowed to see this. By the way, when they took the body of Jesus Christ down, you know those Roman soldiers that divided up the clothes? Nobody had to go get 20 mule team bull rats to clean those clothes. There's no blood. Nobody had to go ahead and scrub that ground. Those Roman soldiers didn't have to wash their hands. That blood's in heaven, okay? That's one of the first things to be taken up. Why? Because God came down to the scene. God did a crying cleanup scene, okay? You think that blood was in that shroud of Turin? That's the proof that it's not Jesus Christ. There's blood on it. That blood's in heaven, okay? If that blood wasn't in heaven, you're going to hell.
That's right.
All right? All right, goodness. He's coming down to do a little cleanup on a crime scene. But now I want you to watch something. Verse 12 again. At the brightness that was before him, as thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Now, we're going to look at the Trinity here a moment. This is going to go back to some Brother DeWitt preached here 2 weeks ago. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. Now, I've been taught that Jesus is the Lord. I don't know about anybody else. But yet I'm teaching this is Jesus on the cross. Oh, you knew that. But what happened? There's a circumcision here made without hands. The dividing of the soul and the spirit. That circumcision of Christ is the circumcision I have. Here's what happens. Here's Jesus Christ on the cross. And Roman soldiers have spit on him for 3.5 years. He's got lepers touching him. The Bible says that he bore our sins. He bore our sicknesses. He actually has been burying them since back in the book of Matthew. It says he's been burying them. And yet he's clean. He's holy. He's on the cross, and he's able to pardon the thief. Doesn't sound like somebody that's sinned at that point. He's not sinned yet. You know why? He still has his spirit. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You better believe it made him free.
Sure.
He can't be charged with the law of sin and death when he has the spirit. But what happens if he yields it back to the Father?
That's right, brother.
Right. What happens? He's no longer justified in the spirit.
Right.
So he yields his spirit, and this is a small less spirit. Now what Brother DeWitt did is he came in here 2 weeks ago and he astounded me. He brought this from an angle I'd never seen before. He taught that spirit, not just as a person, but the character of the person. You don't have to have a spirit of heaviness. That's your choice to have that. See, you don't have that spirit of adultery. That's your choice to have that.
Right.
Okay? And he pointed the good aspects of the spirit of God to the small s, and that's God's character working in you, and it is, okay? That's an aspect I never, ever thought of before. It's tremendous. But if you understand this, that when Jehovah God is spoken of in the Old Testament, it's with a small s. My spirit shall not always strive with man, small s. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, small s. What is that? Who made all things? By Jesus Christ, small s. Okay? 7 times in the Word of God, in the Gospels, Jesus Christ groans in the Spirit, perceives in the Spirit, grew in wisdom in Spirit, always a small s. Why? Because he's Jehovah God. That's who he is. Jesus is the Lord. Okay? That's who he is. And on that cross, he yielded his spirit to the Father. And there is no more justification if he becomes sin for us that knew no sin. And he arches his back and he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because I've become John Asquith. I've become Dale Morey. I have become these people. And he's tasting the bitterness of sin, but he's become sin. He is it. At that moment, every bit of your life, he knows it and he experiences it. He is it. And he knows the most horrible things, secret of you, he becomes. And it's agony, and it should be agony to you.
Yeah.
I have people here, it's not agony to you that you're a sinner inside. It's not agony to you that you're what you are. A little remorseful about it. But the idea that you're despicable, that you're a worm, that you're a grief to God, that you're not what you were made to be. The idea that you're something that the devil bastardized and destroyed. The idea that you're on your way to hell because of what you are and the choices you make and you love it. It doesn't grieve you.
Right.
It doesn't bother you. You wonder why you never get saved.
Right.
Wonder why it goes on. You won't take your place as a sinner. Jesus Christ came to call sinners to repentance. That's what he came for. And on that cross, he becomes that sin. But his spirit's with the Father. God told Adam, you're going to die the day you eat thereof. Did Adam physically die the day they ate thereof? No, he died a far worse death. He died spiritually. He became separate from God. Death in your Bible isn't unconsciousness. Was the rich man in hell unconscious? No. That's part of the agony of spiritual death, isn't it? It is conscious.
Right.
Who you are today, you will be 1 trillion years from now.
Yes.
You will never cease to exist. You will always exist. Death will not stop your existence. Go, you big little wimp. Oh, I'll kill myself. You didn't stop anything.
Right.
All you did is take away the last chance you'll ever have on this earth to have the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you and make you new and make you something on this earth.
Yeah.
It's all you've done. And on that cross, he yielded his spirit back to the Father. Why? Because he has to die two deaths. The first one is the more awful one. My God, why so forsaken me? He's still alive physically, but he's spiritually dead now. He's healed in his spirit, he's dead. And then physically he dies. They take his body. Peter calls that body there the Holy One. The Holy One. That body's deity.
Yeah, right.
It's deity by itself, the Word. Which is God, was made flesh. What is that flesh? It's the Word. It's God.
Right, come on.
It's what it is.
Exactly. Yeah,
that which we have seen, that which we have held. What did they hold? They held the body, which has been from the beginning.
Sure.
Okay? Of the Word of life. That body is God. It is. His very flesh is God.
Sure.
That's why he's the Son of God. When he was born, if he'd been born in Allegheny County, they'd have taken DNA samples. They'd have tried to find the Father. And the only way, the only DNA it'll ever match up to is a King James Bible because he's the Son of God.
That's right.
God's his Father.
Yes, sir.
God's his Father. This man is God on earth. Now here's what goes on. He's dead now. And God the Father is wroth in heaven. Why? Because number one, the blood of Jesus Christ is taken into heaven before he ever resurrects.
Right.
How do I know that? Because Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20 says, who was raised from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's raised from the dead. Why? Because God has a high priest. God the Father receives the sacrifice.
Right.
Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. And the Holy Ghost is that priest that makes intercession for us with groanings and loves us. And he's the one that first takes that blood and takes it into heaven so that Jesus can even be resurrected.
Mm.
And then Jesus Christ is brought up and made a priest after his order. And made a priest after him. That's why when you study Moses and Aaron, you ever see all the things that Aaron had to do to be sanctified to be able to go into those temples, into that tabernacle? And Moses just walks in and out. Never a time that he has to be sanctified.
Right.
He's a picture of the Holy Ghost. Aaron being a picture of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So the picture of him. He has to bring the blood first before Aaron can ever do what he does. He's got to do it first. Now let's go on a little bit more here. Verse 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. So here's the Spirit of Jesus Christ has been yielded back to the Father, and he's ready to reunite. Let's have a resurrection here, Father. And he thundered in heaven, the highest gives his voice. And here's what happens. Verse 14, yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Now you listen to this. We were talking today. You dig a hole right now and dig it all the way down through, you'd come pretty well close to Burma. Okay? I know somewhere about 1958, my sisters and I started a hole like that. We never finished it. But we fought it was for China. That's probably why the Lord was merciful. We'd have been in Burma, military dictatorship, it'd have been a mess, all right? But the point is, if you dug that hole all the way through the earth, we understand that'd be about 8,000 miles from here down to that other side. We're about 8,000 miles from Burma, if you could go straight through the earth, okay? And you say to yourself, well, I'll just jump with a parachute. Excuse me here. You jump with that parachute for 4,000 miles. I'm on my way to Burma. I'm on my way to Burma. But the problem is you're going to get to the middle of the earth. That's where the center of gravity is. And now you're going to be there and you're going to look up this way is up to Burma. And this way is up to New York. But then there's something awful. The earth is turning. That's why the Bible calls it a bottomless pit. You can never hit the bottom.
Right.
See, you couldn't have a bottomless pit without a round earth, a spherical earth, hanging on nothing, as the Bible says. Took science 2,000 years to catch up with.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what the Word of God says, okay? And so, here's Jesus Christ now. He's down there. Well, what else is going down there? Somebody just recently told me that science now has discovered that there's four times as much water under the the surface of the earth as there is on the surface of the oceans and that. Okay? That's why when you read Jonah, he went down to the lowest hell, how'd he go? He went through the water. Why do you have geysers at Yellowstone? Because they go down there, they get hot, they come up, they boil up. So if God the Father were to go down and he was to get Jesus Christ, he's going to have to go through water. So look what it says here. Verse 13, then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. This is where the rich man said, get me out of here, get me out of here. And Abraham said, there's a gulf fixed between us. A gulf is a body of water, and it's fixed between us. God the Father brings him through many waters. Why? Because he's a Hebrew. Hebrew is the one that crosses over. And he crosses over from death to life. He crosses over from hell to Abraham's bosom. That's what Psalm 23 is all about.
Right. Right.
Thou hast prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. I'm over here with Abraham and Lazarus. You prepared it. They're all looking at that table. There he is. Okay? And my cup runneth over. And here I sit. And all my enemies are gnashing their teeth, but I preach to those spirits who were once disobedient in prison. I preach to those down there. And I've gone down to the lowest hell. You know why? Because if he's going to die for what you have, he's got to get what you got and what you had coming, and he goes to hell. Okay? There's preachers that rent their clothes when they hear that.
Yeah.
Okay? They need to rent their degree and really believe the Word of God.
Yeah, come on.
Yes, sir.
Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundation of the world were discovered. Verse 15 again, at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. You know what the Word of God testifies of Jesus Christ said? He says, he's talking about the bulls of Bashan. They gnashed upon him with their teeth. And they hate him, and he's awful, and he's in hell. Can you imagine the agony of hell?
Yeah.
I read of a hostage one time held in the Middle East. And they had to take him from northern Lebanon to southern Lebanon, his captors. With every bit of the Reagan administration trying and everything they can to find him. And they made that man lay down on a rug like this, and they rolled him up in the rug. And then they put that rug underneath a truck. He drove from northern Lebanon to southern Lebanon in that. And I think to myself, I think I would lose my mind if I was around up in that carpet. I think I would lose my mind. But what will it be like to be a worm and no man in hell with no arms, no legs, and crawling through hell in the darkness forever? Jesus Christ is the only one who tasted that, who became that worm and no man. Came out. He says this, verse 17, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Verse 18, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my say. He brought me forth into a large place. There he is. He's in Abraham's bosom. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. Three reasons that God brought Jesus Christ, the Son of God, out of hell. Number one, he did have clean hands. He himself had no sin. Number two, that's Hebrews 13:20. He raised him from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The Holy Ghost took his very blood, which was the innocent blood. Judas repented when he saw the innocent blood. He realized the gig is up. Every devil in hell realized the gig was up. They realized it's over. If the princes of this world had understood, they'd have never crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Never.
Right.
Realize the gig is up. We have destroyed ourselves and destroying this man. That innocent blood, number three. We'll turn to Psalm 116 real quickly. Psalm 116. Psalm 116 is another messianic psalm. It cannot be David. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. That's conditional love. I get people all the time, oh, I love God, I love God. You can't see it in their lives. You can't see it in anything they do. But you get somebody that's been drugged through the mud. You get somebody that has messed up their reputation, their life, and destroyed everything and crawled back to the feet of Jesus Christ. They'll love him.
Yeah.
They'll love him. The only ones that stayed at that cross with him were those women, those whores stood there. They loved him. He'd heard their voice in supplication. Verse 2. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, righteous, yea, God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, but he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. Why is he falling? He's in the bottomless pit. Okay. Now here's the faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He knew that. He said in verse 10, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. That is the faith of Christ. That is the faith. By grace you say through faith. Has that made that so clear? That faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's the faith he gives. How do I know that? We're going to end in 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Peter, Eric, Tim, ever occur to you, even Josh and Randy, that you're here because God wants to take the message out and God wants you to be taught the most inner things of God and of Christ, and for it to profit in your life, and for God to make you into that new creature, and God to put you through those things, and God to send you forth with power that you can teach people these things? Ever occur to you that that might be what he's doing? Ever occur to you, Eric, that one run coming out of the gate and stumbling the first time means nothing? nothing in eternity.
Oh, yeah.
It means nothing in eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written." And he quotes Psalm 116, "I believed, therefore have I spoken." That's the faith of Christ. Why did God resurrect Jesus Christ from the dead? Number one, Jesus Christ believed the promises of God. Number two, his blood's been taken into heaven. Number three, his hands were clean.
Yeah.
You will never, ever have any of those yourself.
Right.
That's why you ride with Christ. You get your ticket stamp with Jesus Christ.
That's good.
Get your ticket stamp with Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. If you had to hang right now in space, nothing holding you up, but you're just hanging in space, and you are naked, and you are standing in front of the great white throne, and God now looks at every thought you've ever had, and every motive you've ever had, and why you thought those thoughts, because that's the real you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not this little busybody we see on the outside.
Right, right. That's right.
We're talking the deep things inside. If you were hanging there then, what is it that Christ would condemn you over? What is it? You realize that the Apostle Paul says, if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's what repentance is.
Right.
You come to him and say, here's the reasons that I could never, ever be with you. Here's the reasons that I could never, ever. And he will make you as clean as he is. He will make you as holy as he is.
How about that?
He'll make you as pure as he is. Apostle Paul said, who had called us into the fellowship of his own dear son. Can you imagine a fellowship that God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost have had through eternity of perfect love?
Mm.
The day came, he called Chris to it. He went to Chris to that fellowship. And I know people brazen, oh, I can go to that fellowship. No, it's that one that says, no, I'm an unclean person. I can't be in it. He'll make you clean.
Yeah, that's good.
He'll make you clean.
Yeah, that's good.
He'll make you meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life.
Praise the Lord.
He'll make you to be part of that. That's what he does. Brother Hain, however you want to close this service, would you close it? However God shows you to close it.